As a pastor, I am in what is known as a helping profession. Now, helping profession is a profession that addresses the concerns of other people, their physical, psychological, intellectual, emotional, or spiritual well-being. And these professions include nursing or medicine, social work, education, counseling, and of course, ministry. Many of you here are in helping professions. Helping professions do have their own set of demands. They require us to get close to other people and also to allow people to get close to us. And therefore, you run into issues of boundaries. Boundaries, both personal and professional, are necessary, and they allow us to function in as healthy a manner as possible. I want to tell a story. When I was in seminary, one of my friends was serving a local church as an intern. A church family invited him to their home to have lunch after Sunday worship, and he went because it was an opportunity to get to know this family. Then, after lunch, the father told my friend that now he, my friend, would help this man reseal his driveway. It wasn't an invitation. It came across as more of an expectation, even an order. And my friend didn't know what to do, so he stayed, and he helped seal the driveway, still dressed in his church clothes. But he came back to school that afternoon a bit angry and resentful for having been manipulated in this way. I mean, this man clearly had crossed a boundary, but my friend was too young and inexperienced to know how to handle the situation. He's gone on. He's pastored a large church up north, and I'm sure he has applied that lesson he learned then to help him establish healthy boundaries in his professional life. So I cringe when I read Paul's words in 1 Corinthians where he declares, "I have become all things to all people." This doesn't sound healthy to me at all. It sounds like Paul has torn down all the personal boundaries between him and other people. It sounds like he's saying, "I will be whatever anyone needs me to be with no respect to my personal or emotional requirements. I will let the world walk over me if necessary." We need boundaries. We need boundaries or else we run the risk of losing our self-awareness. In other words, we lose an understanding of who we are and how it is that we should be relating to other people. Without boundaries, we can, like my friend, become angry and resentful. We lose the ability to become assertive and say no when it is necessary. Without boundaries, we can become drained and prone to burnout. Now, there are, of course, legitimate emergencies that require our attention and may cross a boundary, but that's okay. Somebody calls and says, "Their child has been in an automobile accident. I'm going to be there." Doesn't matter what time, day or night, but if you call every night at 7 o'clock to tell me that you've had a bad day and I keep telling you, "This is when my family eats dinner, we can talk about this later at a more appropriate time." That's establishing boundaries. So why is it that Paul said that he had become all things to all people? The Apostle Paul founded that Christian community in the Greek city of Corinth around the year 50 AD. And although he had now moved on to another mission field, he kept in touch with his former parishioners back in Corinth. And he had heard through several sources of the conflicts and divisions that had arisen among the people in the church. And in response, Paul composes these letters in which he offers his guidance and teaching and encouragement and love. His intent is expressed early in the letter where he says, "Now I appeal to you that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and same purpose." This is what Paul is calling the people in this divided church to be of one mind, to have no divisions among them, to work together as the body of Christ. Now, what's going on in this church? There was a lot going on in this church. You had people suing one another in the congregation. They were siding with different preachers, those preachers who had come after Paul had been there. There was the question of eating food that had been sacrificed to idols at the various temples in Corinth. There were questions about marriage, morality, spiritual gifts, and more. It was a mess. And the bulk of this letter seeks to address these issues which have been raised, issues which we've been discussing for the past 4 weeks. But in chapter 9, Paul takes a break from the discussion of all these conflicts, and Paul now talks to the people about his role as an apostle there in the Christian church. And specifically here, he talks about his salary for his work there among them in Corinth. And Paul points out that other apostles are paid for their work, and that's how it should be. I mean, after all, soldiers get paid, farmers get paid, those who work for the gospel, they should get paid. Paul then reminds the Corinthians, in case they had forgotten, that he, however, had received no salary from them. He had supported himself in Corinth through his profession as a tent maker. And therefore, he says, he is free. Free in the sense that they had not paid him, and free in the sense that he is not obligated to them in any way. His obligation is to Christ. And this obligation to the gospel of Christ is the root of why he preaches what he does. He preaches the gospel because he cannot help himself. He preaches not for the money, but he preaches out of his great love for the gospel and his desire to share its message with everybody. And that then brings us to our reading for today. Because in today's reading, Paul explains that this puts him between a rock and a hard place. He's darned if he does, and darned if he doesn't. After all, he can't help but preach the gospel. It's what he does, and he loves it. But it is also an obligation that has been laid on him by God. He's not bragging about that, he says. He's just letting them know, this is how it is. And if I don't preach this gospel, then I know that God's judgment is going to be upon me. This is a gift I have been given, and I must utilize it. Darned if he does, darned if he doesn't. And he goes on to say that as long as he preaches this gospel freely and of his own volition, then his reward is clear. It is always the joy of seeing lives change, of seeing people understand and embrace the love that Christ has for them. Paul then goes on to list three groups of people that he preaches to and how it is that he preaches to them. He first of all preaches to the Jews, second he preaches to the non-Jews, and third he preaches to those who are known as the weak. The weak are those newer Christians who lack spiritual maturity and confidence. And Paul says that to the Jews, he becomes as a Jew in order to win over the Jews. And to the non-Jews, he becomes as one of them in order to win them. And to the weak, he becomes weak so as to win them to the gospel. And Then it's here where he says those words, I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. So the question is this. Has Paul really relinquished all personal boundaries in order to share this gospel message? Has he lost himself completely in his work? And the answer is no. I mean, even though that statement of his makes the buzzers go off in my head, Paul has not lost himself. He says, I do it for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. Paul knows what he's doing. He knows how to walk the walk. He knows how to talk the talk. And when he says being all things to all people, means not that he's giving himself away, but it means that he is willing to meet the people where they are. He's not standing high on some pulpit demanding that the people come to him. He's willing to go to them and speak their language. He can speak to the Jews. He can speak to the Gentiles. His ego is not so large that he can't speak to those who have not had a personal revelation with Jesus Christ as he has. He can still speak to those people. Paul preaches this gospel without personal agenda. He says it is just the agenda of Jesus Christ. Back in 1919, I don't think any of you remember, Irving Berlin wrote a song that included this line, a pretty girl is like a melody that haunts you night and day. And I really think this is what Paul was trying to tell us here, except that he's not talking about a pretty girl, but instead he's talking about the faith. Paul would say, our faith is like a melody that haunts us night and day. Faith is not being forced into some relationship with God. Faith is when God's love surrounds us like some song that gets stuck in our brains. It's there. It won't let go. It's all we can hear. It becomes part of our lives. It haunts us. And so we have to hum the tune. We've got to let it out. We have to share it with others. And that is why Paul preached the gospel. He had this faith that would not let him go. It was his life, but mostly it was his passion. And that's the question I leave with you today. When it comes to serving God, what is our passion? What is it that drives us? What is it that drives you? What encourages and motivates you? What gets you moving even though you just feel you can't go any further? What is it that makes you want to get up and testify to the world the love and compassion of God? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. What is our passion? And I hope, I pray, that our passion is indeed a love for the gospel that God gave to Paul, the gospel that God gave to all of us. The gospel that God wants to give to the world. Amen.